It's become a cliche almost. I can't worry about that today. I'll worry about it tomorrow. Tomorrow is another day. Where's that come from? Huh? Gone with the wind. Miss Scarlett said that. I won't worry about that today. I'll worry about that tomorrow. I have a friend who doesn't open bills. I'd rather worry about it tomorrow when I have more money. Yeah, right. You'll have less money tomorrow. That's one of the problems that plagues society. Worrying about tomorrow. As if there's anything you can do about tomorrow. Waiting until tomorrow to do what ought to be done today. And then there's the flip side of it. Worrying about yesterday. Beating yourself up about yesterday. What you did yesterday. Or last week, or last month, or last year. The mistakes you made, the stupid things you did, the idiotic things that you said, that you wish you could take back. Worrying about yesterday, living in yesterday. Rather than worrying about it, you live in it, you enjoy it. You want to go back and relive it. I have another friend who bemoans the fact that times have changed and people no longer dress up or wear dresses and suits and stuff to church and on cruises and things. The times have changed and people have changed. She wants to live in the past. Two different sides of the same problem. Those who are constantly projecting into the future, worrying about the future or delaying until the future. And those who are constantly either living in the past or worrying about the past or bemoaning the past. Both groups have the same problem. They're both living in a fantasy world. Because we are in the present. We're in the here and now. We are right here today. We're not yesterday. I can tell you what I did yesterday. I can comprehend yesterday and what I did and the hours I spent, you know, atrophying my brain watching television and going to have some good country cooking over at Michelle's with Valerie and Freddie Orr, sort of putting, you know, just let's just load that wax right into my bloodstream here and just slather it up. I can tell you what I did yesterday. But it doesn't do me any good to reside in yesterday, to relive it, to revel in it. Yeah, no. And likewise, I can sit here and fret and worry about tomorrow or look forward to tomorrow. And nothing that I do looking forward to or fretting will change tomorrow. Tomorrow's not here yet. It's still coming. One of the failures, one of the mistakes, one of the problems with much of Christianity is it's either dwelling in the past or it's longing for and dwelling in the future. It's either worrying about the past and trying to make up for the past or it's anticipating, speculating about the future. It's either obsessing on the past or obsessing on the future. One of the problems of much of Christianity is it's not in the now. It's not here today. It's about the hereafter. Or it's about what happened, past tense, in the past. And yet Paul, here today, here today in the 2 Corinthians reading, says, see, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We sometimes get caught up in Christian theology and talking about the death and resurrection of Jesus and about salvation and Christ's history and divine history was for then. Miracles were for then. Grace was for then. The stories about Jesus were for then, back then, about then. And then we flip it and we say, we're talking about the second coming for then, future tense, yet to come concepts. People who spend an inordinate amount of time worrying about or reading books about the end and having never lived in the now. There are Christians who fight over the beginning, and there are Christians who fight over the end. And they're never living in the now. And yet Paul, in many of his verbs here in today's passage, deals with the now. Look what he says. We are treated as imposters, and yet are true. As unknown, and yet are well known. As dying and see, we are alive. As punished, and yet we are not killed. As sorrowful, yet always, that means continuously, that means now, rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich right this instant. It's a present tense. As having nothing, and yet possessing right here and right now everything. Not having nothing and we're going to have everything. We have it now. The verbs he uses repeatedly here speak about now, this instant, this very second, the continuous concept of right here and right now. It is the one tense of time that has any true meaning for us, the now. We understand the past, but we can't change it. We can't live in it. We can't adjust it. We have lived it. It was once now, but it is no longer now. And the future, we don't know. Both of them are unreal to us. The now is the only one we live in. The now is therefore what truly matters. Living for right now. Doesn't mean that you don't remember the mistakes you made in the past. You don't repeat them now. And it doesn't mean that you don't make preparations for the future right now. Make those preparations today for tomorrow. But you don't live in either. You live for right now. Now the church has devised a beautiful and amazing way of transcending, breaking across, bridging from the past to the present and into the future. From the beginning to this instant in time and to the end. The church has devised a beautiful way. And it's focused, and you guessed it, right here. Now, it's not just right here at the table of the Lord. It's any time the family of faith meets to worship together. But at the table of the Lord specifically, you have an interesting instrument for seeing how the past and the future and today become one. Think with me for just a second. At the original Last Supper, it's interesting, we call it the Last Supper, and then we repeat it. How is that the last? And we talk about it as the foretaste in Christian theology of the eternal supper in heaven in glory at the end of time. So we talk about it as the Last Supper of Jesus with his disciples, a Last Supper that we then repeat again and again and again and again. And we talk about it as the foretaste of the what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. The wonderful, final, glorious, worshipful presence of God that we typify as a meal. In communion, we are reconnected. We are remembered. We are brought back into membership with. We are made whole with again. Christ, the disciples, at that historic event. And we are remembered with, brought back into membership with, brought into communion with, each other here today and with God. And we are connected to glory into the future, into that event that we can only call by symbolic names, the end of time, whatever that is, when we meet with God in glory and feast on God's grace forevermore. Communion bridges the past and the future to the present, to where we actually live. And that's true for every time we gather. And true not just for every time that we gather, but for every time Second Service gathers. And for every time every church that has communion gathers. Okay, you're going to start getting mystical on us now. Yeah, I am. Every single communion celebration, from the first to the last, including the one that happens right now, are all, mystically speaking, the same event. Interconnecting all people, all Christians, all believers, and Christ Jesus himself, the disciples themselves, all believers who have ever lived, all believers who live now, all people who will ever come in the yet to come. Bridging and interconnecting them all to now. My dad used a beautiful illustration of this once after I preached something very similar to this many years ago. He said, the bread and the cup are like the variables in an algebraic equation. The variables. The formula remains the same. The variables can have anything plugged into them. Any group of people plugged into them. Any circumstance or situation plugged into them. But they always remain in the same place in the formula. And they bridge the gap between them back there, them up there, and us here today. And every version of us here today, be it 2 weeks ago, or 2 months ago, or 2 years ago, be it 2 weeks from now, or 2 months from now, or 2 years from now, we're all right here, gathered together. That sounds like science fiction, right? Well, it is, in a sense. It's a mystery that we can't comprehend, this idea that the table of the Lord bridges time from the past to the present to the future. But it does. It makes real and present here today in our midst the presence of Jesus. It makes real and present in our midst today the presence of all Christians, from the disciples to the very last Christians in all eternity. It makes real and present here today the gospel message that God is the one who feeds us, who nourishes us, who guides and protects us, who guards us and leads us forward. It encompasses the entirety of the mystery of the relationship of us together and us with God. That's why I'm always amazed at people, and I myself am one of them and have been one of them from time to time, who feel as though they can't approach this table, who would rather stay back and not approach for fear of something that they have done, for fear of some inadequacy within them, for fear of the past in their lives, for fear of what they're going to do in the future, rather than focusing in on their need of God's presence right now. So I invite you today, if you have concerns and fears about the past, set them aside. Learn from the past, yes. Don't dwell in it. Don't worry about it. Don't dredge it up, and don't let anybody else dredge it up. Set it aside and come. If you're concerned about the future, worried about the future, set it aside. No worrying about it will change anything. Instead, set it aside and come to the now and receive again the grace of God that helps you deal with the hurt of the past and face the future. Deal with the pains of the past and approach
the future with faith.
I'm always, when I was young, and I'm still today, I'm always tempted to procrastinate. Oh, I'll take care of that tomorrow. Just another email to read. I don't want to deal with that problem now. Just another phone call to make. I don't want to deal with that problem now. Just another page in the book I'm reading. I don't want to deal with that problem now. Just another episode of whatever TV show I'm watching on rerun or whatever. I don't want to deal with that problem now. Just another anything. I'd rather not deal with it now. Putting it off doesn't help. It makes it worse. Putting off to the future that which you should do now generates problems for the future and for the now. Instead, we should live in the now, learning from the past and preparing for the future, but not worrying about it, and being empowered by the grace of God to do all of it by meeting together at this mystical meal, which bridges past, present, and future, and enables us to be the Christian people we are called to be. So come to the table of the Lord today. Receive the grace offered here. Suspend the demand for just the rational and accept the mystical bridging that can glue us and bind us together, make us whole, heal and transform, and send us forth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Together in the great thanksgiving printed in your bulletins. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. With your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen, amen, amen.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body, for we all partake the one loaf, the bread which we break. It is indeed a means of sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks, it is indeed a means of sharing in the outpoured blood of Christ.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2009 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.